and bringing God's Word to us this morning. We're continuing with our study of the book of Proverbs, and as we've been looking at different passages from the book of Proverbs, we're going to continue, and today we're jumping on to chapter 17. We're going to be reading from verses 9 to 11. So if you're able, would you please stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning. Hear the reading of God's Word from Proverbs chapter 17, 9 to 11. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Pray with me. Dear precious Father, we come to you this morning. We're so humbled that we can gather before your presence to honor you and to hear your word. Father, may you open our hearts. May we hear your word. But may we also be faithful to do what it tells us to do. We pray this in your great name. Amen. Please be seated. What is the measure of a wise man? What marks someone who is wise as opposed to a fool? Well, for some of us, this is our definition of who a wise person is. We define those who are wise as people who are eloquent, people who have a great charisma, they have a great understanding in their knowledge of what they know or they think they know. Or the opinions they have about, well, let's just say about everything. Or maybe it's the amount of knowledge that they have about the world. But do we ever stop to think that maybe wisdom is not the way we always define it? That wisdom doesn't always have to do with an epistemological question of how do we know what we do, what we know? Or how much we know? Maybe the question about wisdom and being wise has a lot to do with the very being, with the very person, the very human that you are. It's got everything to do with our character, with who we are, with how we act in different situations. I think today's passage is going to force us to be able to look at that. This morning our passage forces you and I to look at the contrast that exists between the one who is wise and the one who is not so wise, the fool. And I'm sure none of us would want to be described as a fool. So let's dig in together. Let's start looking at these passages. And I want us to see from verses 9, this is the first thing I want us to see this morning and be able to think through, that the fool is the one who gossips, but the wise man forgives sin. And this is why I say that. Read with me. In verse 9, listen as I read back verse 9 to us. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. We can translate this way. That when we forgive sin, we promote love. When we nurture differences between us and those that we know, we're separating and bringing about hatred. So what does it mean to cover sin? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. Obviously, it doesn't mean making light of sin. It doesn't mean sweeping everything under the rug. It doesn't see recognizing evil and seeing sin and yet saying, well, I don't care about that. I don't care whether they are sinning or not. I'll just sweep it under the rug. That's not what it means. I think the author of Proverbs is telling us that covering sin is recognizing that when someone sins against us, when someone commits an offense, that we go to them personally, one-on-one. And we help them in a brotherly love and kindness to exercise their conscience. If they've sinned against the Lord, that they need to go before the Lord and seek forgiveness. If they've sinned against us, they need to come to us and seek forgiveness. If that mission is successful, then we're called to forget it. We are called to forgive and not mention it anymore, not to bring it up. That's what covering sin is all about. When that mission of helping someone recognize their sin and admit their sin and repent, that when they do so, we forgive. The fool, on the other hand, is the one who does the opposite. One who continues to bring forth, to bring back all the sins that have been forgiven, that have been covered, so to speak. All you who are married know this so well, don't you? How many times has your spouse come to you and with utter shame and guilt confessed their sin to you and told you how sinful they are and what they have done for you or what they've done against you, and they've sought forgiveness from you and asked for your compassion and your forgiveness, and you said, honey, I love you and I forgive you. But how many times do they come back, or do you come back, maybe a month or a week or several years again, and they do something wrong and you go back and remind them of their sin? You bring them back to the very shame that they had committed before you. You remind them of their guilt and of their sin. You bring back something that is not even necessary. It probably has nothing to do with your conversation or with what they've done this particular time. How many times do we do so? I know I've failed my wife in such a way. I know there are times that my heart is so cold that when she sins against me and I forgive her and time passes on and she does something else, I want to bring that thing back as soon as I can. Why? Because that's how sinful I am. That is not fostering love, as the author of Proverbs is telling us this morning. That's fostering disunity between you and your spouse. When they confess, forgive, cover the sin, and move on. Remember, your spouse is just a sinner just like you are, and I bet you they will sin against you again and again and again, and so will you. So extend that forgiveness to one another. What do you do to a brother or a friend or someone that you know when they confess their sins to you? What actions do you take as a wise person? Do you go out there and confess, or rather speak about their sin to other people? Wash their dirty linen in public? Tell them, oh yeah, he said he did this. Or do we act as those who are wise and cover our sin and cover their sin? We need to check our hearts. That's what we're being called to do this morning. By the grace of God, that He's able to help us, to give us wisdom to cover others' people's sin. It's a warning for us this morning as a church, I think. You know, we exist as a community of believers, right? We exist as a church that meets, but as a church that's called to practice church discipline. I think this is another area that we need to also be careful. Listen to what Matthew tells us. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. You don't have to go there. This is my paraphrase. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and tell him, just between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to the church, and if he still refuses to listen to the witnesses that you brought, then bring that brother to the church. And if he still refuses, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Excommunication. Remember, the goal for church discipline is not to shun the brother or the sister away. The goal is for restoration, isn't it? The goal is to bring the erring person into reconciliation with their family. And that's something we ought to be very careful as we think about whether we are being wise the way we're acting or we're being foolish in our acting. A great passage this morning that I think demonstrates this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as Paul talks about love. We're being called to promote love. But love is kind. It is patient. Does not envy. Is not arrogant or rude. Does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things and endures all things. We know what gossip is, don't we? We know that gossip is carried out in secret. Nothing ever comes out in darkness. Nothing good ever comes out in darkness. Church, when you're tempted to sin, by gossiping, remember one thing, that it is only God, the one who has covered all of our sin, who is able to listen to the stories of your shame and guilt. Do not take that opportunity when someone confesses their sin to gloat over their sin. It is only God who forgives sin, who is able to listen to the stories of our shame and brokenness. And we know this well, don't we? That God, in His utmost love and wisdom, has sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, who has covered my sin and your sin, the past, the present, and the future, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is with that understanding that we can cover our sin. The only way we can cover our friends and our spouses and everyone in sin is understanding what Christ has done on the cross of Christ. Dying on the cross, shaming death and sin, and covering our sin. As David cries out in Psalm 51, only against you, Lord, have I sinned. So when we sin against one another, we have sinned against God. Let Him be the one who listens to our stories of shame and guilt. So next time you're tempted to gossip, here's four things you need to ask yourself. Ask yourself, first of all, is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? And the last and most important, have I told the person whatever information you're wanting to gossip personally? And if you cannot say yes to that, don't do it. So take heart as Paul encourages us in Ephesians 4:32 to be tender-hearted, to be forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. The second thing I want us to look at this morning is what we see in verses 10. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. See, I grew up in Kenya in a small village. My job as a young child was shepherding goats and sheep. I hated that job with passion. I would feign sickness every morning I got up before my mother told us to go get the goats out of the sheep pen and take them out to go herd them. I would try to get out of that job as much as I could. Well, two reasons why. First of all, I was just a lazy kid. I did not love working. It's hard work. But the second thing I hated is because goats are some of the most difficult animals that anybody can herd. I'm not sure if anyone of us has ever heard of goats, but I'll tell you something about goats. They do not listen to anybody. They are the most unresponsive animals you can shepherd. Sheep will listen to you. They will actually follow you. Cows, you just need to just whisper or whistle, and they will listen to you. Goats will move as quick and as fast as they can. And I got in trouble so many times from my parents because every time I would take the goats to the grazing place, they would always rush into people's farms and eat their kale and spinach, and I would always get in trouble. Now, the one thing that we did to make sure that we had control over the goats was to put a huge bell on them, and you would always put it on the lead goat to make sure that when that goat starts leading the rest, you know where it is. The second thing we did was yell. As hard as you can to yell at the goat so they can hear you. Of course, they never responded. And the third thing we did was use a huge stick. And for those of you animal lovers, it wasn't abusing the animals because they just do not listen. So you gotta hit them. You just gotta hit them a little bit so that they hear you. They were so unresponsive. They couldn't hear. They couldn't listen. I think the point that the author of Proverbs is trying to point here and to drive home, he's using difficult language for us to hear. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding. But listen to this. The man who doesn't listen, even 100 blows will not work. I think the author is using this extreme language to point to us just how teachable and submissive we ought to be. Because one who is a fool will not listen to any criticism. But the one who is wise will remain teachable. In other words, a person who is wise accepts correction, listens when they are being positively criticized. They are tender-hearted. They are not stiff-necked. Listen to this quote that I found from, 14th century. Smite a man with a wise word that it may be in his heart, like a fever in the summer. Smite a fool with many rods. He will not perceive it. And so the author of Proverbs is telling us this morning that the fool is really caught up in his own ways, in his own understanding, in his own knowledge of who he is and what he wants to bring forth, so that he will not listen to anybody. He will not listen to any wise counsel or any judgment. What is Scripture to us? What is God's Word? What is the Bible? This is what we remain. This is what teaches us. It's what guides us. It's what leads us. It's what directs our path. This is what we ought to be submissive to. This is the very Word of God that we ought to submit ourselves to. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. That all of Scripture is God-breathed. That it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So God's Word is all wisdom, right? Isn't it? It trains us on how to live. That's why, you know, we look back in history and hear the story about King David, who is softened by a mere phrase as "this is a man after God's own heart." And going even back to history, the story of Moses, you read about Pharaoh, who even the plagues that got into the people of Egypt would not soften his heart. You know why? Because he did not heed God's word. The word of the Lord was not in him. It is only by the grace of God poured upon us through Christ that our hearts can be softened to receive his word, to receive the very wisdom of God. And it's because of that, it's because of his word, it's because of his love and his grace that he disciplines you and I. So the question for us this morning is, how do we accept when Christ chastises us, when Christ disciplines us out of love? Do we make excuses of our own sin? Do we make excuses and say, "Oh well, I did that because I have a family to provide for. That's why I took the extra cash from the office. Oh, I was desperate. That's why I looked at pornography. Oh, I was just in need of something a little more, and that's why I did what I did." Do we make excuses of our sin and of our rebellion to God, or do we accept in a teachable, submissive way what Christ has done and what Christ is teaching us? Do we let the word of the Lord abide in us, that it may transform us and help us to be wise and not be fools? I urge you, brothers and sisters, this morning to have the same humility that Christ had when he was taken upon your sins and my sins on the cross, to accept rebuke, to accept correction when we are wrong. Not to be arrogant and rude about who we are, but to be open to Christ leading. The third and last thing I want us to look at this morning, which I think is the result of the actions that we've been looking at. We've looked at how the fool chooses, or how the fool chooses to act in a way that's not in accordance with Scripture. How the wise person accepts rebuke while the fool rejects it. And how the wise person is the one who covers sin and does not always go back to bring forth the things that have already been forgiven or even gossip about it. So I think verse 11 is really the result of what happens when we live in that way of being a fool. Verse 11 says, "An evil man seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent against him." Since 2008, I've been following a story about a great celebrated young journalist in Kenya. She was an amazing journalist, a TV anchor and a news anchor. And I feel like most of the people in Kenya really felt like she was going to be one of the greatest journalists in the country. In 2008, she left her prestigious job. She decided to join a church, and from what I've read, it was a cult. A church that has the name The Finger of God. That's the name of the church. And the more I read about the pastor and the church, it just felt like it was really a cult. And so she left her job and said that she wanted to dedicate her life to, quote unquote, serving the church. She was living with the pastor and his wife, which just sounds very weird to me. And to make the long story short, after several years, she married a man that nobody knew where he was from. He had changed his name. Nobody knew whether he was from Kenya or what country he had come from. He had a really interesting name. He was almost deported at one time because the government thought that he had come from a different country, that nobody could tell where he was from. He had several passports and lived in the States for a while. And it was just an extremely weird situation. 2 weeks ago, back up a little bit. So her friends and family, she disowned her own family. She disowned her mother and father, who were believers at an Anglican church. She was not listening to anybody. Her friends, people tried writing letters, emails, phone calls, trying to reach out to her. She would listen to nobody. And so she felt the pressure that was coming to her because everybody was trying to care for her. So she packed up her bags after she got married and moved to Australia to go hide, because she felt like Australia, nobody's ever really going to know what she's doing. Well, 2 weeks ago, their 3-year-old son was found dead in their home. Now, the story they gave the police was that the son fell in a flight of stairs. When the postmortem was done, they found out that that was not true. She, I guess, after a time of reflection, felt that she needed to come out and speak the truth. So she sent a fax to the police and said that the husband had killed the 3-year-old. And she said that he punched the boy because he was trying to exorcise demons out of him. She was arrested as well, but she is out on a bail. The husband is in jail. Not sure if you've ever heard this, that grief comes to those who sow evil. Troublemakers, they die young. The author of Proverbs here is using some very extreme language to drive home the point that if we live foolishly, if we live in opposition to God, to His Word, if we do not heed wise counsel from Him and from brothers and sisters, that can only lead to one place, and it's destruction. It's death. You can see how the actions follow here, don't you? You can see how the progression follows, that you seek to be a fool, to follow the path that does not honor God, and it will only lead you to destruction. As we've seen, foolishness is really living in opposition to God. Isn't that what David tells us in Psalm 14:1? What does the fool say? The fool says that there is no God. They are corrupt and evil. No one does good. I really think that this is why, out of our brokenness and out of our sinfulness, that God in His perfect wisdom saw it fit to institute government, isn't it? Romans 13 gives us the reason why the civil government is there. Because we serve a God who is just. The purpose for government, which has authority from God, is to make sure that there is retribution for those who do not keep the social order, for those who disobey. Of course, we know what the result is for those who deny who God is, right? It's not just the retribution that, as this the story that I just told you, that the person is going to get retribution from the government, get, you know, years in jail and all of that. It's much worse. It's much worse. It's death. It's eternal punishment and death. So rebellion invites retribution. It invites retribution for those who are trying to go against the social order. So my question for you this morning is, are we really peacemakers? Do we really seek peace as we are called to? Do we really seek to make peace and to keep the order as God would want it? What about those times when we are tempted, when we're in a very difficult place where some people react angrily or would react in a way that would bring chaos? Do we react in those situations with kindness, with humility? Do we sometimes find ourselves that we need to say something when we really shouldn't be saying something, to keep silent? In our neighborhood, when things are getting out of control and people are fighting over different things, are we the ones who come in and say, let's think about this. Let's love one another. Let's be kind to one another. Of course, for you here, we know that those who are in Christ Jesus, we know what rebellion is, don't we? I know what rebellion is. I've been one of the most rebellious people you probably will ever meet. Even when God called me in my tender age of 15, I was still rebellious. To this very day, I still fight with God. I don't want to be a pastor. I still do it. But you know, even more than that, as a decision, we know what rebellion is, because all of us were once separated from the love of God, weren't we? Before Christ called you into his kingdom, you were living in opposition from God. You were separated from Him. You were so far away and going the other way. You were rebellious until that day that Christ grabbed a hold of you, when He captured your heart and called you to Himself. So you know what rebellion is. And you know how not to be rebellious, because by that same mercy and grace that Christ has poured upon you is the same grace and mercy that He's calling you to live by, to be a peacemaker. Remember how I started this morning? With a question, right? Well, here's my question for you this morning. Do you want to be wise? Do you seek wisdom this morning? Well, then ask Him. And ask God. Do you want to know how to respond to Him, to His Word, and to His people? Ask Him. For James tells you and I that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to you. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning to be able to come to You, to hear from Your Word, to be guided by Your Spirit, to be encouraged by Your Word, to be transformed by the power of Your Word. Thank You for reminding us that You want us to live wisely. And wisely not because we know, but wisely because of how You want us to live, covering sin as You have covered our sin, loving each other and promoting love. And Lord, just letting ourselves be led by Your Spirit as we seek to honor You with everything that we have. So be glorified, O Lord, in our lives. And for this week, may we practice, may we know what it means to be wise. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you now rise with me?